The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene, were you listening to Kayela with Way Down We Go?
It is so funny you asked me that because I don't have the SMS line, but I do have your WhatsApp, and I've just WhatsApped you.
I've just WhatsApped you.
I love the song. In fact, it's one of my favorites at the moment.
Really, really, absolutely beautiful. Also a favorite is, of course, the SMSs and the WhatsApps we're getting from listeners about the judo. I'm waiting for Gimple to keep us updated as to what is going on. Do you have an update? How is Israel doing in Abu Dhabi?
I have an update. It's in Hebrew. It's from Ynet. It says, Bli Degel, Bli Hamanon. Zahav lejudoku Yisraeli ba'avor Abu Dhabi. Look, it looks like we have gold.
I was just going to say, I hear the word Zahav, I'm happy, because Zahav means gold.
We have the gold.
Absolutely unbelievable. That is absolutely incredible. So there we go.
I'm just trying to find an English site so I can confirm it, because there's no telling what my Hebrew is like this time on a Thursday, especially yes, around Whiskey Thursday. But it does look like we have the gold, and yeah.
Absolutely.
Not too bad.
Absolutely incredible. Here we go. Gimple the Fool. Tal Flicker did sing the national anthem while some Borat type music played as the International Judo Federation flag was raised instead of the Israeli flag.
For Gilly Cohen, we have a bronze.
Ah. Okay, but yeah, that's Gilly Cohen. But Tal Flicker raised the Judo Federation flag, and not the I think that's just terrible, and not the Israeli flag. Wow! All right.
Information here from this Ynet News.
So Gimple, did that mean that?
Flicker's got the gold.
Absolutely incredible. Wonderful, indeed. And that's how it should be done. Isn't it incredible that they try to keep Israel out as much as possible? And now Israel has won gold in Abu Dhabi. Could it get better than that?
I don't think so. I think, you know, therein lies the irony. If you want to ban us, if you want to exclude us, if you want to discriminate us, we'll just answer you in the best possible way by swooping that gold medal right from under your nose.
Absolutely right. Time is 5:13. Unsigned saying that was a brilliant song. Well, thank you for agreeing. Well played, well said. Now for some Hendrix, please. I don't think so. No. I don't think that is going to happen. Rolene, unfortunately, we have to talk about some ugly stuff as well.
Let's talk about this.
There was a tweet going around a little bit earlier. There has been an announcement that the EFF is marching next week to the Israeli embassy to protest the Balfour Declaration. Do you think a lot of them have read that?
I'm hoping a lot of them haven't read it. I'm hoping they would be more concerned with domestic policy, but you never know with the EFF. And my concern is that they use the word occupy. I mean, surely something as hostile as that is possibly not legal.
I don't know if that's a concern or not.
And I do know that BDS have shared that, as well as the MRN, the Media Review Network, have liked it as well, because I've been following it on Twitter, and that any attempt to contact Mqini Chwaku, who is an EFF member on the Gauteng legislature, has amounted to nothing. He has said that they are marching in solidarity with the Palestinian people, but there have been no comments forthcoming to journalists or people from the Jewish community.
So, in fact, yeah, we've also been trying unsuccessfully to get hold of the EFF to speak to us this afternoon. If any EFF supporters are listening to us, we'd love to hear from you. In fact, you can even call us and we'll put you on air, 010-140-3020. If you are an EFF supporter and you are going to the march, we would love to hear from you. And of course, Rolina, the next SMS we're going to get is going to be from a listener that says, why are you talking about this? Why are you giving them publicity?
Well, I think this is very, very important. I think that, first of all, it's important that we know what's going on within our community, and we need to understand when elected officials or political parties take this kind of stance against the Jewish community. And also, they're marching in protest of the Balfour Declaration. Now, very, very important fact that is ignored during all this discussion around the Balfour Declaration is that it was the document that basically paved the way for the creation of a Jewish state, but not at the expense of the Arabs. It basically was there pre the mandate to make a way for two states. We could have had the two-state solution all those years ago, some 70 years ago. We could have had that.
And of course, that's completely ignored, which I find quite incredible.
Well, this is it, and this is why I think it's very important that we engage in discourse around the Balfour Declaration, not to mention the fact that British Prime Minister Theresa May said that not only will she be celebrating the centenary together, so it's 100 years, not 70 years, sorry about that. Israel's nearly 70 years young as far as the modern state is concerned, but she has said that her country, Britain, would celebrate with pride its role in creating the State of Israel. Notably absent from any Balfour Centenary celebrations will be Jeremy Corbyn.
I suppose we prefer him to be absent, don't we?
You know, there's a wonderful Twitter page called Jeremy Corbyn PM. It's a satire page, and I urge anybody who's on Twitter to go and follow it. It's very, very clever, but it really, really highlights the anti-Semitism from within the Labour Party. And I think we saw another tweet today about Jewish members of Labour, and this is also very, very sad, who will be holding a yotzat in Trafalgar Square in commemoration of who they see as Palestinian children who have lost their lives since the creation of the State of Israel. And I just want to ask them, where is the yotzat for the Syrian children?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's absolutely unbelievable. Unsigned saying, we did get the two states back then, Israel, the Jewish state, and Jordan, which includes the majority of the British mandate of Palestine as an Arab state.
Well, we also have to remember that the true Nakba, the true catastrophe, is that when the UN Assembly voted in the State of Israel, they paved the way for an Arab state. It wouldn't have been called the State of Palestine yet, because Palestinians only came to be in 1964. But there could have been an Arab state, and they preferred instead to declare war on the fledgling Jewish state. And the results are thus. And I'm also greatly perturbed by the fact that any other country who wins territory through battle or through a situation of war, they're allowed to keep the territory without question. But when it comes to disputed Israeli territory, well, then we have a whole other thing coming. And that's why we're sitting with a situation today where people buy the false narrative. And we have parties like the EFF, who really should have their hands full with what's going on in South Africa, attempting to cause problems at the Israeli embassy.
Yeah, unfortunately, what the EFF march is really about is just trying to win it's popularism, and it's trying to win over a segment of the South African population who they believe will support them. We have seen this type of behavior from the EFF. I think it's really, really skin deep. And if you ask me, I don't believe genuinely that Julius Malema, who's the leader of the EFF, has any issue with Israel or with Jews. I think it's just a couple of members of his executive who are very, very staunch BDS supporters, and I think that's a real concern. RS saying, thanks for publicizing the hostile attitude of the EFF. I was going to vote for them. I want to be clear, RS, I would rather take it up with them than not vote for them, because if you believe that from a South African perspective, they have a value and they have something to add, then go and address it and say to them, rather, you know what, I like your policies here, or I like this about it and not that, but as for this cheap attempt to gain votes from the segment of the population that is anti-Semitic, you know, I don't appreciate that. So let them know, rather, that they are losing votes because of their attitude towards Israel, which I have to say, and I keep reiterating, I don't really believe. I'm not saying that they're not going to march and say all sorts of horrible things about Israel, but the reality is that I don't believe it, not for one moment.
Well, funny you should say that, Howard, because I have a personal story involving Mr. Malema and myself. 3 years ago during Sukkotan, when I was in the country, in fact, I was catching a flight from Cape Town back to Johannesburg, and it was one of those situations where your brain says, don't do it, girl, mm-hmm. but you find that your leg's already walking to the Wimpy where he's sitting about to order his breakfast with his friend. And he was sitting there with his fabulous Palestinian scarf. And I went up to him. I said, Mr. Malema, can I just have a minute of your time? And I was wearing, especially at that time, an Israeli flag on the lapel of my jacket.
Oh, brilliant.
And I said to him, I just want to speak to you, you know, human to human. I live in Israel. This is the situation that we are enduring. I explained to him the rocket attacks, what it was like or what it is like in a time of conflagration when we have to run for shelter. And let me tell you, even from Modi Inn where I stay, when those sirens rang out, it was absolutely terrifying, to the point that I'm still traumatized today when I hear an air raid siren. Mm. And I spoke to him about it, and he said, you know, but the children of Gaza and the women of Gaza, and I explained to him that it pains Israelis terribly. We don't want that. We don't want war and the situation that rockets flying into our country makes it untenable for both people. And he agreed. He said, you know, I only wear this scarf, you know, because I've been asked to and because it makes a political statement. But he said, I do feel for the people of Israel. And I said to him, well, maybe, you know, you should visit us one day and meet with both sides and understand both sides. And he was very approachable, very warm and friendly. Whether I made a difference to him, you know, I'll never know. Mm-hmm. But I also know that he doesn't eat bacon and he does like his eggs over easy.
Absolutely, absolutely amazing, and well done for doing that. I just do want to make an announcement. There's an SMS that came in from V. Hi, please ask ladies to bring their own bowls to the challah bake tonight. And just to give you that announcement, intrepid challah bakers, if you're on your way to or if you're going to the challah bake, to minimize wastage this year, we are making challah in Ziploc bags. I see that's all a rage on Facebook, making things in Ziploc bags. If you prefer to mix in a bowl and not in a Ziploc bag, feel free to bring your own. So if you're on the way or if you're getting ready to go to the challah bake, I think it's 6:30, somewhere around there. I could be making up that time, so don't take my word on it. Sasha is nodding. It is the correct time. If you do want to mix in a bowl and not in a Ziploc bag, then just take one yourself. Time is 5:24. Raline, can we just talk about Israeli companies working with the Saudis?
Well, here we go. I mean, this to me is just absolutely fascinating. I think that there is a lot of business that is hush-hush that goes on between us and the Saudis and Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman announced on Tuesday that a $500 billion smart city will be built a few kilometers away from Eilat. And he mentioned establishing a joint economic zone with Jordan and Egypt, except for one teeny tiny problem, and that's the teeny tiny country that's kind of stuck in between the two. So using their Israeli ingenuity and more than a gigantic dose of Israeli chutzpah, a number of Israeli companies are now talking to the Public Investment Fund of Saudi Arabia about developing some of the proposed smart city zone. And I think that this would be quite incredible, given that the language that we've heard over the last couple of months is softening slightly. And while they are not so willing to cooperate with Israelis formally, but if it's coming from the private sector, then it might be easier to do cooperation on water and energy and food technology, agricultural technology. And this is the kind of stuff that the prince wants to promote in the smart city. And this is the kind of stuff that we excel in as world leaders. So it will be very interesting to watch this as it happens.
Absolutely fascinating that how things are changing in some ways across the Middle East. Absolutely phenomenal. Vice President Pence is to visit Israel in December. This is good news.
This is good news. He is coming to Israel during Hanukkah. I think he heard about the fabulous calorific treats that we have on offer at that time of the year. Having said that, they've already started rolling out the sufganiyot. So anyone who's coming to Israel now, you can get your Rolladin super fancy, schmancy. I know.
We were there last December, and they basically cleared out the whole of Rolladin, which is, for any of our listeners, it is one of the local bakeries. And it's like a museum. It's a monument to donuts. It's just, you could just browse for hours.
Well, every year I wonder how they're going to surprise us. I mean, last year, I think my flavor of the year was a Ferrero Rocher donut. I mean, I've just like added 10 kilograms just speaking about it. But this is the stuff that calorific dreams are made of. So Vice President Pence is coming. He will be making or he will be giving a keynote address at the In Defense of Christians annual solidarity dinner for Christians in the Middle East. And apart from meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu and Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas about possible peace agreements, he will be speaking about the persecution of Christians and other religious minorities in the region. And I think apropos what we spoke about yesterday, Kurdish independence and the situation for a lot of minorities in the region, this couldn't come at a better time.
Absolutely right. Unfortunately, there we do have to leave it. Time is 5:28. That's Rolene Marks with her Israel report, brought to you by the Blue Agency. Rolene Marks, we'll be back with you. Ooh, Monday, we are moving your slot just a little bit later. We've had multiple requests from listeners for Rolene to be in the 5:30 to 6 o'clock time slot. So Rolene Marks will be chatting to us from Monday at 5:35. Make sure that you're in your car at that time. Rolene Marks, have a fantastic weekend. Have a Shabbat Shalom.
And Shabbat Shalom. I'm going to be joining you all in keeping it together.
And Rolene Marks.